Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." This is the word of the Lord for us.
We are fascinated, it seems, with celebrities. We follow them on Twitter. We read about them in the headlines. You know, we want to know all about their lives. Sometimes we even vote them into office. One of the major goals we've found of young people today, as the next generation is surveyed, one of the major goals for young people today is to become famous. We want that same kind of attention. We want people to obsess over us. We want people to be starstruck by us. So one thing I'd be interested to know is, have you ever met a celebrity? Have you ever seen, like, in the wild, in the flesh, have you ever seen or encountered someone famous? So I want you to share those with me. You can comment on YouTube, you can comment on Facebook, or you can, if you have my phone number, you can text it directly to me, and I will share those in just a moment. So, and I just want you to give me the name of the celebrity, please. Just the name of the celebrity. Have you seen a celebrity, and who was that? But we love to see celebrities. You know, for me, it's probably athletes more than anything else. But we want to be around them. We want to be a celebrity. You know, even just getting an autograph, isn't that an interesting phenomenon? Just getting the autograph, and we are tickled. But here's the thing. It's not celebrities that we're called to serve. It's the least of these. And that's just what we're going to talk about today. So my name is John, and I pray that through our time together, your heart grows stronger and your faith grows deeper. So we're wrapping up a sermon series today called Blind Spots. Over the past couple weeks, we've talked about the people that we fail to see, the people that exist in our blind spots, the ones that we are challenged then to love as God calls us to. And so we talked about the lonely and how we are called to care for the lonely, that we can love them by tuning in and by giving our time. Last Sunday, we talked about how we can reach the lost. We can do that through building relationships and being bold. And so today, we're going to talk about what it means to serve the least, to care for, to bless the people in the world who are the opposite of celebrities. The people that don't get noticed, the ones we tend not to see, the ones who are in our blind spot. Now, I want to be clear, when we talk about the least, it doesn't mean in any way that they're not important or valuable to God. It's just that in our society and in our culture, maybe even in our own eyes, they are the least important. Or maybe they're the least powerful. Or they're the ones that contribute the least to society. Maybe they're even the least attractive. Like the poor guy, he was very homely and unattractive, and he just couldn't get a date. And so he finds himself, as usual, in a restaurant all by himself. Well, he happens to notice that there's a woman in the at the table next to him. She's alone, and she's very attractive. Suddenly, he notices that she sneezes, and when she does so, an eyeball pops out of her head, a glass eye, pops out of her head and comes hurling toward him. And he happens to snag it, and he takes it back to her. She says, "This is so embarrassing." She's putting the eye back in. She says, "I know I've disturbed you and annoyed you. You know, let me buy you dinner. You know, can I join you?" The guy's like, "Yeah." It turns out they have a great time together, and she even agrees to a second date. And he says, "You are the most charming woman I've ever encountered. Are you this nice to every guy you meet?" She says, "No, you just happened to catch my eye." Well, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus has dinner with a guy who failed to notice those who were around him. You can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. We'll look at a few verses there together today. Imagine this. Jesus is this new amazing teacher, and everybody's talking about him, and it's like, he's in town today. Everyone wants to see him. Everyone wants to be near him. He's starting to become a celebrity. And so one of the local leaders there, one of the spiritual leaders, like, he would have been seen as somewhat influential. He thinks to himself, well, if I could get Jesus to hang out with me, then all of a sudden my celebrity goes to 10. Like, if I could get the hottest celebrity, the most talked about person in the whole region to come to my house and be at my dinner party, man, that's gonna give me major credibility. So he invites Jesus over for dinner. So the scripture tells us that he's a Pharisee. Jesus accepts the invitation, and this guy, he wants to make a great impression. So what does he do? He's going to invite people. So he pulls out his address book, and he invites the most influential, powerful, extraordinary people that he knows. The most influential celebrity status people that are in his book. So Jesus goes to the dinner party. This is Luke chapter 14. We see in verse 3 that as Jesus comes in, he notices a man suffering from abnormal swelling. Now, this guy that was swelling, we don't know who he was or how he got there. I mean, did he just show up? Was he a friend of someone? Nonetheless, here he is. He's suffering. And Jesus heals him. No one else seemed to care about this individual. He was in their blind spot. They were too busy trying to get the best spot at the table at this dinner party. Besides, it was the Sabbath, right? And remember, these are Pharisees. So these people are too religious to bother helping someone. Well, the law says. And so Jesus calls out their blind spot. So I want to look together. We're in Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 12. Jesus says, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Wow. Jesus wants us to realize that as we care for others, those that are in our blind spots, we invite God's grace into our lives. No, there might not be a reciprocity of earthly goods or rewards, but there will be a heavenly reward. See, when we serve the least, my friends, we put on display the kingdom of God. So look at Jesus' guest list. It's really different from the Pharisee that invited him over. And by the way, the passage, scriptures, they don't even tell us this guy's name. We don't even know who this was. He was a Pharisee. He was a guy. A nobody, really. And Jesus' guest list looks totally different from this guy. Jesus is like the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Like this is a reflection, my friends, of God's heart for the lonely, for the lost, for the least. And all through the Bible, you see Jesus behaving this way. Like he was a friend of sinners. He hangs out with and pursues and builds relationships with prostitutes, with tax collectors. Like he cares for widows who were hopeless, who were destitute, who had nothing. He reaches out to lepers. He wipes the tears of those that are broken. He gathers children around him. You remember those passages. Let the children, little children, come to me. Like Jesus had this way of doing ministry that was incarnational, where he would be with people, be present with people. He would sit with people. He would eat with people. He would create this sort of space for building relationship, a space for healing, a space for restoration. And that's what each and every one of us needs. We're all broken. We all need Christ. Each one of us is spiritually impoverished. That guest list that Jesus describes there, the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame, that's you and that's me. Each and every one of us is spiritually impoverished and we need help. Let me tell you a little story. Once upon a time, there was a man and he went for a walk in the woods. And he happened to fall into a hole. And it was so deep, he couldn't get out. And so he begins to call out, help! Please, help me! Well, it just so happened that a doctor was also going on a walk in those very woods and walked right past the hole. He stops and he says, I think I can help. He pulls out his prescription pad and he writes a prescription and he throws it into the hole and goes along his merry way. And the man begins to call out again, "Help! Someone, please help!" It just so happened that a priest was going on a walk in the very same woods, and he stopped by the hole and he said, "I think I can help." And he stopped and had a brief prayer and went on his merry way. And along came another man. And he hears the cries for help and he stops and he says, "I think I can help." And he jumps down in the hole with the man. And the man says, "You moron, now we're both stuck down here." And as he brushes the dirt off, he says, "No, friend, it's going to be all right." He says, I've fallen into a hole similar to this, and I'm with you now, and together we'll get out. You see, Jesus has entered into our world and our brokenness to save us and to help us. He entered into, in the flesh, into our predicament, into our pain. He even endured then the agony of the cross. On the third day, he rose victorious. And he invites each and every one of us into new life. Why? Because of what he has done. Yes, my friends, we've all fallen into a hole. And only Jesus can help us out. And when we serve the least, we are demonstrating that God cares for each and every one. Now, we don't have the power to save them. We don't have the power to transform them. We, too, are in need of Christ. And so we desperately depend on the Lord to show us, who would you have us serve? Who would you have us care for? Therefore, we are people of prayer. We're constantly seeking the Lord and looking to him. In fact, I hope that you'll join us next week, because we're launching a brand new sermon series. It's called As It Is in Heaven, and it's going to be a study of the Lord's Prayer. And I just sense, and I think you'll agree with me, that in our world, the world that's upside down, the world that has gone mad, we need to look to the true source, the only source of wisdom and truth. So I hope you'll join us for that. Next week, we're starting As It Is in Heaven. But here's what I want to do with the rest of our time together this morning, and I want to share two ways for us to serve the least. If the Lord, by God's grace, helps us to see those in our blind spot that are the least, two ways that we can serve them. The first is to use your gifts. You see, God calls us to serve the least. God has empowered each and every one of us with spiritual gifts. And when we use those, listen, it's a blessing to others, it's a joy for us, and it brings glory to God. It's like a win-win-win. Like when you need your car to be repaired, when you take your car to the mechanic, you want it to be someone who is skilled in automotive repair. When you need to talk to a counselor, you want that person to be skilled and excellent at listening and tuning in to what's being said. Like this is what Paul is getting at when he teaches in Romans chapter 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. He says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to give encouragement, give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. He says, you all have a gift, so use it. Use it to bless others, to bring joy into your own life, and to give glory to God. And so here at MCA, we want to see each and every person serving in their area of giftedness. And I want you to know, we are committed to walking with you through this process, like helping you to discover what are your gifts. This is what Ivan was talking about just a few moments ago. We heard him. He is the chairperson of our gifts committee, and he would love to help you. He and his team would love to help you in this process. And so one tool that we have is this online ministry profile. It takes you just a few minutes to fill out. So this is for our MCA church family. I think the gifts committee, it's helpful if we do this each and every year, and it is available on our new MCA app. So it's very simple. Go to the new MCA app. You click on Other. You see it there, Spiritual Gifts Survey, or Gifts Survey. You answer a few questions, and you lean into this process of, I want to be used. And I want to be used in a way that's life-giving for me because it's the way God wired me and the way God designed me. And for us, like, our ministry here, it depends on faithful volunteers. This is not like the John Reisner show where I do everything, or we pay a staff to run the entire church. Like, we depend on, our ministry needs volunteers who are going to serve together, and we have a bunch of awesome teams. We have amazing volunteers here at MCA. And so we have people that volunteer with kids, with youth, right? Do community outreach, our worship team, our women's ministry, our mission board, ushers and nursery workers and core group leaders. We have roles here. This is what's cool. We have volunteer roles here, people in ministry that are completely and totally behind the scenes. Like you never see them. You probably don't even know who they are or what they do. We have others that are more like in the limelight. You know, Lakota is serving this morning as our host. Like he's on stage. He's going out to 8 billion people on the internet. Does that mean that one is more important than the other? No. No, absolutely not. Each one is valuable. Each one using the gifts, exploring the ways that God has made them. Why? Because we want to humbly serve. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for men and women who would develop a servant's heart, the heart of Jesus, to serve others. Be willing to be a blessing even to the least of these. And so that's the first key in us serving the least of these is, would we be willing to use our spiritual gifts? The second key is, don't show favoritism. We've got to avoid at all costs favoritism. Like it's so tempting for us to do for others what they can do for us. You know, we've got to steer clear of this temptation. Like, well, that guy can return the favor. We're just drawn to the celebrity. We're drawn to the wealthy and the powerful. You know, I'm interested to know. Let me check my phone here to see who are the celebrities that you have seen. Oh, boy. Okay, so some weeks I ask a question and not very many people respond. Other weeks it's like 60 to 80 people. And so this looks like it's a big week. Lots of responses. Okay, here we go. These are ones that you guys have seen. Jim Tressel. My dad looked just like Jim Tressel, by the way. Spitting image. He got mistaken for Jim Tressel all the time. Kenny Lofton. Okay, I like the theme going on here with Ohio sports. I really like this. Okay, we got a Todd Blackledge. Man, I'm not even sure who that is. Okay, we got, for King and Country, Vanilla Ice and Tim Timmons. John Schmidt. Okay, that's a good one. That is, that came from Lakota, by the way. Love it, bro. Okay, let's see. Let me just try to rattle off a few more because I got tons of these. Richard Karn, he played Al in Home Improvement. Okay. Met the famous John Reisner. Ha ha ha. Good one, Haley. Love it. Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty. Chip and Joanna Gaines. Omar Vizquel. Jim Tome. Andrew Miller. Looks like that's a. Okay. We got a photo of that. This is like this is like a photo evidence. Okay. That's Christy Spittler. Okay. Ozzie Newsome. Yeah. We know who he is, Keith. All right. And then, Jeremy, did we have any on Facebook coming in? No. Okay, great. So a bunch of people texted me. Awesome. Well, I'll leave it at that. Here's the point. Like, it's so tempting for us to want to serve and bless and, like, connect with the wealthy, the powerful, the celebrities. That's why we're starstruck when we happen to see Mike Tyson in the airport, which will be one of my celebrity sightings. Like, we're just drawn to that. It's tempting for us. We would serve a celebrity, but what about the one that's not the celebrity? What about the one that smells bad, that looks bad, that's the least of these? And here's the thing. When we treat people differently, so this is favoritism, right? When we treat people differently based on their station in life, the color of their skin, the level of education, the amount of money in their bank account, whether or not they're a celebrity, it's sin. The scripture makes that very clear. James chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. He says, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but to the poor man, 'You stand here,' or 'Sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Oh, we're so quick to judge by appearances, aren't we? By the way, do you know the difference between a poorly dressed man on a bicycle and a nicely dressed man on a tricycle? It's attire. So we're called to check our blind spot, to see the needs around us. If you saw the blockbuster film Avatar more than a few years ago, the main character in Avatar, Jake, and he gets a lesson about the language of the aliens, the Na'vi. And he learns that their standard greeting is, "I see you." That's their standard greeting. Like, it seems strange to him at first that this is their way of saying hello. This is their standard greeting, say, "I see you." But then he begins to understand. It's got a deeper meaning. It doesn't just mean like, "Oh, I see you." It means a deeper level of seeing. Like, I recognize you. I see your strengths. I see your weaknesses. I see your gifts. I see your shortcomings, and I accept you. I see the ways that you are unique and special and made in the image of God. That's what's being said there. It's like, I see you. What a beautiful thing. And that's what we are learning during these weeks, to check our blind spots, to see the people that we so often overlook. And again, as we talk about serving the least, it's easy to just think of the guy who's homeless, or when you're going up to New Philly and you see the guy with the cardboard sign. Like, it's easy to think of them as the least, but who are the people in your life that people don't see, that are in our blind spot? Maybe it's the worker at the fast food restaurant, who for the whole shift, no one actually acknowledges or greets, but just says, "Give me a number one. I want a burger and fries." Maybe it's the guy who picks up garbage in your neighborhood. Maybe it's the people on the mowing crew. Maybe it's children. Maybe it's amazing, wonderful young people who are so often just seen as an inconvenience and an annoyance. Maybe those are the least. Well, in Matthew 25, where Steph read for us a few minutes ago, Jesus speaks directly to this issue of serving the least. Here's what he says. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And he says later in verse 40, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me." So here's the point. When we serve the least, when we care for them and love them, not in a fake way, not in the kind of way that's like, "Oh, it's a token photo op," or "Now I can check off my box for doing good." But when we serve the least with Christ-like devotion, it pleases God, because he identifies with the poor and the broken. So who is it that's in your blind spot? In what ways has God uniquely gifted you to serve them? Would you consider investing in someone this week? Would you consider how God might use you to bless them, to help them, to serve them, to love them, to share with them the life-giving power of Jesus? In just the same way that you are undeserving of God's grace, would you extend grace to someone who might never be able to repay you? Who are the least in your world? Who are the poor and the crippled, the lame and the blind that Jesus is calling you? Invite them over for dinner. Invite them to the table. Give them a seat of prominence. Be a blessing to them, knowing that you yourself will be blessed. So my friends, may we check our blind spots. And by the Spirit of God, may we use our spiritual gifts and avoid favoritism. Love the lonely. Reach the lost. Serve the least. For whatever we do for the least of these, we do for Christ. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are amazed and blessed that you've reached out to us. Broken and sinful and flawed humanity, fallen into a pit that we can never climb out of. And through your Son, Jesus Christ, you offer a way. You extend forgiveness and grace and healing and redemption, not because we are good, God, but because of your master plan of salvation, and because you are a good God And so as people who have received your grace, who know your goodness, Lord, would you allow us to be conduits to extend that same grace to the least of these? Would you give us eyes to see those in our blind spots, those on the margins, those that are outcast and unwanted? Because Jesus, we see in your ministry that you went to them and you spent time with them. You tuned into their needs. You didn't show favoritism, picking and choosing. You didn't try to impress the celebrity and the wealthy. So Lord, would you give us that same humble servant's heart, that we would bless and inspire others to turn to you, that we ourselves would be filled with joy, and that in it all, Lord, you would be glorified. So we pray, Lord, that in all of this, you would seal and impress these things on our hearts, and you would allow us by your Holy Spirit to live them out. We thank you for it. We pray this all in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.